I die.
You must be on the same circuit somehow.
We are live?
We are live.
Oh my God. Okay, I'd like to call the January 8th meeting into order for the Tacoma Arts Commission. Thank you, Amy. And I also would like to acknowledge that we are meeting on traditional homeland of the Puyallup people. All right, let's move it on to Heather.
All right, we have the following excused absences. Michael Kula, Paul Throne, Tracy Kelly, Wanda Thompson, and Johnny Kendrick. I need a motion to approve the excuse of absences, the meeting agenda, and our meeting minutes from last month.
So moved.
I will second.
Oh, any discussion?
Do we have enough people to do what we need to do?
Yeah.
We do.
Barely.
And no decisions, no action items today either, so, which is good.
All right.
Call for a vote.
All in favor?
Oh, all in favor, sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
We have all those things now.
Okay.
Nice job.
Getting there.
So we have two or three new commissioners. Welcome, Rosie and
Paula.
We've already met, but I had Michelle in my mind because Michelle's not here.
Yeah.
Welcome. I thought what we would do is just go around, and if everyone wants to start by saying their name and maybe what you do related to the arts, either professionally or personally, or both. And Liesl, maybe we'll start with you and we'll go counterclockwise so that we can end up with our two new commissioners.
Okay, hi, and welcome to the new commissioners. I see the third. two out of the three.
Two,
right?
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm Liesl Sandkyle, and I know Rosie pretty well. I met Paula at the commission meeting when the council approved. Professionally, I don't do anything related to art, but I am a big art supporter, particularly in the Tacoma Public Schools. I work for College Success Foundation, and I have two kids in the Tacoma Public Schools, so I've been involved as a parent. And then I play an instrument myself, and so I don't do anything professionally. I really enjoy my time on the commission because I'm learning tons about art in Tacoma, so I welcome you to our group.
Okay. Actually, maybe staff briefly want to say hi.
I'm Asia, and I know Rosie on a panel. I think I met Paula at the arts opening party. I'm the arts program coordinator, and I do a lot of the systems management and kinds of odds and ends as needed. And I'm an artist.
Yep. With a show opening
today.
Oh. Where?
Where is it?
The opening reception isn't today, but at they changed Spaceworks Gallery name to 950 Gallery. And on Thursday is the opening reception.
At what time?
I think they run 5 to 9, but I prefer people came at 6.
You want critical mass at 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rebecca Sullivan, nice to see you both again. I work also for the Office for Arts and Cultural Vitality, and I manage public art projects.
Naomi Stromopula, also staff. I work mainly in our funding programs and coordinating things like Tacoma Arts Month and our murals program, Poet Laureate, other such programming.
Amy McBride, I'm the arts administrator, so I run the office, and well, she really does, but try to navigate the systems of the city and figure out how we can do our best work together.
Excellent. Hi,
and Buck Mike.
And Buck me. Michelle, Hi.
We Sorry, are. I had some no, that's okay. This challenges. Is
good timing. We're just starting to do introductions. We're just going around in a circle. This to welcome you and Paula and
thank you
and Rosie. So I'm Mike Sweeney, and I am the chair and of the commission here. And my day job is that I manage the state's public art program for the arts the state arts commission. And I met you before, and I met you before. And welcome. It's great to have you guys on board.
Thank you. Hi, Heather Conklin. I teach visual arts and art history at Lincoln High School.
And that's it. Hello.
Vice chair.
And vice chair. It's like there's something.
Hi, I'm Scott Campbell. I am co-founder and managing director at Tacoma Youth Theater, and I also run the theater programs in the schools.
I'm Michelle Douglas, and my day job is I'm the deputy director at Emergency Food Network, and I've also been a practicing ceramic artist for the last 25 years, and I've had a ceramic studio here in town, and I've been involved in a lot of the different art projects here.
I'm Hallie Kanegi. By profession, I do PR for REI. I am not an artist of any kind. I consider myself an art patron. my husband is an artist, and I enjoy supporting the art of just many friends and just all the interesting things that are going on in Tacoma.
Hi, guys. I'm Lynn Wilmot-Stangeum, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and also director of arts for the YMCA of Pearson Kitsap County. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Polly Jacobson, and I've worked with Dale Chihuly for a number of years. I'm currently their Editions Program Manager.
Rosie Ayala. My day job is education. I'm the Director of the Hilltop Scholars Program for their high school and post-secondary divisions.
You already went. Going around.
Yeah, no, we're done. Well, thank you again. Welcome. I'm excited to move forward with you guys in place. So we need to talk about the retreat next.
What?
We're going to talk about the retreat next.
Okay, so we like to have a retreat quasi at the beginning of the year, so we have some time to sink into information with each other, kind of refresh ourselves on what we do, and we recently completed our five-year art plan, so we have something actually we can kind of refer against, look at what we've accomplished, and kind of redirect or tweak the direction of how we want to move with that. Naomi sent out some dates, Naomi's going to share some dates with you. We're hoping to figure out usually a Saturday. We're looking into March, so when I say early years, you know, March or maybe April, but it's usually a, you know, kind of a 10 to 3 sort of a day. It's not, we don't get to go anywhere fancy or anything, but it's a great time for us all to get a chance to sink into some things that we don't necessarily get a chance to do in these meetings. So
it's usually a sunny day in the middle of rain.
Exactly. The one sunny day in the depth of the spring.
80 degrees out on this.
We like to lock us all in some windowless room.
it's a really nice way to get to know each other better also.
It's terrific. It really is. And last year, I think, Lynn, you helped score a space,
it was
which
a lovely
was really
space.
Nice.
I'd be happy to do that again if we wanted to.
Oh, That'd be great.
Yeah.
Because it was not windowless.
Right. Yeah, I was going to play out in the back room.
Do you have some retreat items in mind, some agenda items for that, or you want
to? Well, I'd like to brainstorm. I mean, there's some basics, you know, kind of a refresher, give you a sense of what's on the docket, figure out some methods, like I said, against which to look at the art plan and see, you know, if we still want to be moving in some of the directions we're moving in, if there's some things we want to tweak, and things like that. So we obviously haven't developed what it will be exactly, but also if there are burning topics or things you want to feel more comfortable with. In the past, there's a barn burner, but, you know, Robert's Rules of Orders, things like that, or just, you know, meeting running or things like that, we can do some of those kind of nuts and bolts things. But also, I mean, the good part is really, really sinking into what the future holds for us and what the work we can do together to advance that. We'll get into this a little bit in 2 seconds about this meeting we're going to be holding around cultural access and our strategies, and that's going to be a community meeting. So I would see us being able to have some really great data to respond to as well, to hear what the community's wanting and needing, and seeing how we can advance that. There might be some things around just sort of, I mean, we talk about advocacy. I mean, that's one of your key roles. It's something that you as citizens can do that we as staff cannot. So we will have some council coffees and stuff set up probably before then, but if things emerge in those conversations, especially with the new council and new leadership, that we want to put our heads together and address, you know, those, that's a great time to do that as well. So those kind of things. So if you have any great ideas, shoot them our way, and we'll discuss them in executive committee, figure out, you know, how to kind of lay it out. So it's a combination of informative and fun and a chance for you all to get to know each other. I always learn some great things about people during the retreat.
Naomi, do you have an idea of when you might be looking at?
Yeah, so I have some date options here. Now, since we're missing 6 commissioners tonight, I don't want to, like, pin down a date right now. I will plan to email and just double-check everyone's calendars. But the dates that we're looking at, possible dates, are March 3rd or 4th, 10th or 11th, 17th or 18th. Possibly the 25th, and it could go into April 7th or 8th if needed. So we're pretty open, steering clear of the very last weekend in March, which is Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anyone has their calendars here and wants to be like...
Absolutely not would be a good way to eliminate
some. Yeah, you tell me the weekends that don't work.
And do you prefer a Saturday or something?
I can't do the weekend of the 24th. There's one. I can't do the weekend of the 24th, but the others are all...
I can't do that one either.
That one's hard for me, too.
So. Okay, so we're canceling 24th, 25th, off that list. So 3rd, 4th, 10th, 11th, 17th, 18th, any?
10th, 11th is good times.
Do people have a preference for Saturday or Sunday?
I like Saturday.
I prefer Saturday.
I can't do the 10th, which is Saturday.
Oh, Saturdays are bad for me.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I can do it, but I have to hire someone to replace me.
Okay.
You want to do a doodle poll or something and just see?
I might do. Yeah. But this gear narrows it down to at least a couple weekends, so.
I'm supportive of a Sunday. We can do it outside of, you know, in the afternoon if it interferes with people's worship time.
Okay.
I gotta go to yoga at 11.
So. Or yoga time. That counts.
I will plan to send out a doodle poll then, and that way we can get everyone's take, and I'll just try and pick the date that works best for everyone. So expect to see that probably tomorrow from me. And if you haven't done those before with us, hopefully everyone's done a doodle poll. But we schedule a lot of things that way.
And I'll check the Advancement Center too to see what's available, and I'll let
okay.
you know.
Okay.
Oh, that'll help. Yeah, for sure.
That would be good.
That was a great place last week.
Yeah.
Did it.
Okay.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Next.
Cultural access. Yeah. Okay. So I mentioned to y'all last month that, well, those of you who were here, that we are. Let me back up. Okay, so in a nutshell, there's a movement afoot to try and implement a potential ballot measure that would be what we're looking at, I think, at this point is a 0.1% tax on sales to support arts, culture, heritage, and science in Tacoma. With a focus on increased access, both to institutions, but also to support what the institutions do in community, and also to support what our existing organizations do, or their potential organizations could do if they actually had this influx of funding. a lot of the parts that are being looked at and that are part of the legislation are around out-of-school time and trying to fill some of the gaps around after school and summer. The arts and culture really aren't as represented in those areas as they could be. And so those are some of the big moves for the cultural access. Now, this initiative has been generated from the originally from mostly the institutions. It's based on a tax that was implemented in Denver years ago that's been wildly successful. And over the past year, the Arts Coalition has been grappling with how to try to develop a program that would actually be functional and effective and beneficial to the community. Our role, considering that we're not an institution, I think is really, really crucial in looking at how whatever happens really does affect the whole community. So it's not just institution-centric. It really is about a game changer for our whole community and how arts and culture can bring a lot of assets to places that don't have either access to arts and culture, but even, I mean, if there's an increased number of programs that are in certain neighborhoods that are providing after-school programs and food and, you know, for all intents and purposes, child care, you know, that can really relieve some of the barriers and pressures that parents face, and really looking at it systemically and comprehensively like that. So I've sort of been waiting for the point when we could expand it to more of the arts sector that aren't so much large institution based. And so on the 24th, so that's a couple Wednesdays from now, we're going to be hosting a more broad-based arts sector community meeting. We're calling it Creative Community Conversations, and it's bigger than just the Cultural Access Washington, because we have the opportunity to ask our community what they need and want, and get a sense of people's responding to what we're doing now, you know, the art plan, where it lies. Absolutely inform them of this possibility, because it's, you know, the question is if this resource that we have not had, potentially $5 million a year, were flooded into our community to support arts, heritage, culture, and science activities, what in the world would that do? How could people imagine what that could do for them? That said, if it doesn't happen, we still want to hear from folks and find out what people want, need, et cetera. And also, I want us to be thinking of what kinds of things we could do differently if that funding were to support the organizations in a way where we maybe wouldn't do anchor fund anymore, for example, because then we would be able to, you know, that's what we have to think about. This will be other retreat discussion, but for the individual artists who might not see themselves in that funding, we could then, you know, focus on maker things, or we can devise new funding programs that do whatever we hear people want or need. We can, you know, do all kinds of things if we think about it as this ecosystem shift. So this meeting is really important. I would like all of you to not just attend, but help lead different breakout groups, because what I've passed around are kind of the high-level things of what we want to find out. It's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. We haven't designed it yet. But figuring out different sort of tables or whatever where people can move around and weigh in on different topics that are of interest to them, and then compile that data and hopefully... And then, you know, Liesl, you'd asked the question earlier about if we're seeking for people who want to work on the campaign or whatever for cultural access. That will certainly be an ask. It's not the driving force of this meeting. But it is imperative that I believe that we are connecting with as many people in our community that this could touch as possible, so it can really be a game changer. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. You know, nothing is. Why bother, right? So, I would love you to look over. I'll kind of walk through some of these things. What else should we be asking? If you have any genius facilitation things you've seen work in community that you want to share. If you want to be a table leader, that's really what I think your best role would be for this. The Arts Coalition members will be in attendance, but they're taking a backseat role. This is just more for them to observe and be able to hear from the community. So basically,
We want to be able to know who the folks are. What are they doing in the community? Do they currently participate in arts institutions? And if not, what are the barriers? You know, is it too much? Is it expensive? Is it transportation? You know, we often make a lot of assumptions about why people do or don't do things, and it's best to actually ask them, right? We want to know what people want to experience more, you know, and do they want to just walk down the street to get it, or do they want to be able to go different places, all of the above? Ultimately, you know, I'm looking for what would actually be helpful, and being able to discern between, you know, helpful for adults, helpful for kids. Obviously, not everyone who comes to this will necessarily be parents, but we certainly have plenty of parents in our midst who are arts, are in the arts sector. So those who are connected to that, we will want to pick their brains. This whole section around the arts education in and out of school, like what are people doing now? What would they like to see happen? We'll be able to have an opportunity to describe the Cultural Access Tacoma, I'm calling it. They'll probably have a fancier name at some point. But also, like, what would, Rebecca brought up a really good point, a way to say, like, if you had $5,000, if you had $10,000, $20,000, you know, what would you be able to do with that? So helping people to imagine themselves in this and how it could be helpful to them, because I, you know, there's so many amazing projects and even organizations out there that have been going, you know, been ongoing for 10 plus years who are just doing it on fumes and passion and on top of their other jobs and things like that. And so, you know, I kind of want to get a sense of what kind of shift would this make to people in that sense.
And some have strategic plans too, right? That they can't implement without funds,
mm-hmm,
right? So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This could help them realize something that they've been wanting to do.
Absolutely. I also want to be able to communicate with folks what it is that we do, and be able to share with them our art plan and the different chunks, also known as strategies, to see if we're on the right track, you know, if there are things, you know, or actions we could be taking that might support those strategies, and then some kind of nitty-gritty about who the artists are and who the organizations are, what they're doing, who they're serving. And again, you know, what else? What could they do if something like this were to be put into place? I feel like that's a ton of stuff to find out, but I'm certain there's probably more. The question is how to distill it down into a process through that people can actually engage in. And
so are people taking notes, or what is
Yeah. So we'll have table leads, and we'll need to have scribes to help. Gather the information. People might be filling out, if any tips people have, maybe a big old paper that people write on. You know, I'm thinking a couple different ways to engage people, but it's got to be a way that we can actually gather the information. So,
could we ask if it's okay if we record them? It's so easy on iPhones.
Sure, if it's table discussion.
Sometimes to type up notes afterwards if you have a little visual and
mm-hmm.
then you have something else to
okay.
back it up.
Let's think about that. We're having it at 1120 Pacific, which is, that's where the Creative House has been, the SpaceWorks co-working space, but a company called Sky Creative has taken over the first floor in the mezzanine, and they're a multimedia music production studio. They've been in the community for a while, and pretty exciting to see them off and running. They're going to be doing recording. They have recording studios. They promote artists, and it's also kind of a, I guess it's a co-working as well. So if you're a creative that wants to plug in there, you can rent space in their place. So it'll also be sort of a debut of their project and their facility and their offerings as well.
I'm thinking about the artists that we funded, and if they can't make it to this meeting, they're information and their feedback would be really valuable. I'm wondering if we've thought about a distribution list to connect with funded artists to get some of this information.
Yeah, we can turn this into more of a traditional survey as well to gather that information, for sure, because I don't want to lose that either. I you know, you got to hit it a lot of different ways, right? I mean, I'm excited about the opportunity for people to meet each other and mix and mingle. That's always good, but yeah, I think having an opportunity for people to do something online would be good. A little more simple than this, though. This is pretty intensive.
Such a fast turnaround, too. I'm wondering, like what the outreach strategy is to get people there. Yeah. And then also on a housekeeping note, if it's possible to turn off these this light display.
Oh, that?
It's visually
crazy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you just
that's much better.
Take us to Venice.
Yes.
It's
like, I'm going to have to quit the Arts Commission.
Yeah, I know it's a tight turnaround. We started today. Asia posted some invites on Facebook. I did some advance just emails to people that I wanted to be sure connected with their communities.
Yeah.
We did listserv posts. We'll do a press release. What else?
It was sent to all the commissioners.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we're sending out to our artist list as well. Artist and organization distribution list. So it'll be several hundred people.
And what's the time frame on it?
6 o'clock with a program. So conversations happening at 6:30. So we'll have food and drinks, probably not booze, but you know something. I know. Got to keep you focused.
I might have missed this, but there will be representatives from Cultural Access Tacoma, but just observing, right?
Yeah. So they'll all be invited, of course. But I mean, what we're hoping for are the people who haven't been involved in the conversation at all, which are a lot of people.
That's kind of my question would be, how do we find people who are already in the choir to be participating? Because those are the people, isn't that the people who we really need to serve with this?
Oh, yeah. That's what, you know, all the people that we fund, all and then key people that are connected to various communities.
Underserved communities that we're talking about, or just all communities?
All communities, including, yeah, everybody who, but yes. Anybody and everybody. But people, I mean, we have a good network of people who have touched us in some way through a variety of, you know, the programs and things we've been doing. So reaching out to those folks to say, hey, you know, this is really important. Hope you can be there. Tell your folks. So I know it's tight, but I think we can pull a decent draw.
And what's your goal? How many?
100.
I think part of the reason why this has been accelerated is the notion that we're going to try to get this on the ballot in November.
November, yeah.
So, and there was some question whether that was possible and maybe wasn't going to, and then the coalition sort of doubled down and said, we're going to do this.
They were
going
to try to do it in February, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
What needs to happen is... So
next month?
Yeah, right? Crazy. So... there is a consultant on board who's helping, you know, wrangle all this and make it feasible and doable and herding all the cats. They've actually done polling, so they've been calling folks just about, would you pay this tax? I can't remember what the survey is, but, you know, just sort of getting a sense of if anybody would even bite. Their goal is to be able to get something to the city council in March, end of March. So the way it works is the ballot measure would actually come from the city, and if they agree to do that, then it would go on the ballot in November, and there'd be, you know, tremendous advocacy up to that point. Once the initiative is on the ballot, then we'll have to talk about what your role is versus ours. We pretty much have to step back and not touch it because it's a city initiative, but as advocates and citizens, you guys get to participate in a different way than we do. We'll get clarity on what that looks like when we're a little closer to it.
My understanding was this was a statewide ballot, but you're talking as if it's a local ballot at this point.
The state ballot was to allow local jurisdictions to make this choice.
It wasn't a ballot, but it was legislative
action,
right?
Yeah, so local communities. So typically what it has been is counties, and Pierce County rejected the opportunity, so there was a clause that a city could take it over, which is so much more manageable, frankly. Mm-hmm. So it's very tied in to Tacoma Public Schools, so those of you with education backgrounds and knowledge of that world would really, really love your input. Originally, you know, sort of the high-level idea was, you know, get buses for kids to get to institutions, you know, and that's still part of it. and that's complicated enough as it is, but it's, I think it's more exciting to be really looking at how we're increasing activity and opportunities everywhere instead of expecting people to come from their place to the institution. So there's also a pretty exciting, at least from the, I haven't experienced it personally, but I know that Metro Parks has been working with Tacoma Public Schools to ensure that athletics are in every school, and they're doing a lot to systematize how schedules are being run, so it's not just calling each school and trying to figure out if you have, you know, if you can use the basketball court or whatever. So we'll be talking with them about how to leverage the work that they're doing and, you know, see if this can help. There's been discussion around what they're calling a whole access pass of some kind, which is like dreamy in my fantasy. I don't know how far out it would be, but something where people can have a pass that allows them to get into institutions. They might be able to ride the bus with it. It'll be tied to whatever their socioeconomic background is, so nobody even needs to know whether they're getting into a place free or not, or, you know, things like that. So those are some of the possibilities. I mean, the possibilities of what it could do to really, you know, remove some barriers and open things up are incredible, but it's definitely complicated, and it's, but it would be a game changer for our community. So if we listen to people and if we actually, you know, do what people need and want.
My one concern is that to do outreach well to communities of color, that this is too quick of a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible. So, you know, we'll do what we have to, but less than 3 weeks is
mm-hmm.
challenging.
Do you think we've already sent stuff out?
Yeah. There are alternative ways. I mean, and I don't know who exactly would be tasked with this, but if we have almost like a leading question that people can respond to, they can video their responses to this and make this public. And so just generate some momentum that way, and it's a very, people can respond from home or participate that Wednesday, but it could generate a little conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what I'm trying to keep in mind is that this meeting on the 24th is the first step.
Right.
So, I mean, I've directly emailed people to say, hey, I really need you to be there, you know, that kind of thing. And what happens after this, you know, we can do tons and tons, and we'll need to do tons and tons of other things.
It's a beginning.
Right, but
mm-hmm.
to have, you know, have folks that are already engaged in some way or doing work in the community, et cetera, and get the feed, like, how should we be reaching people better? What else should we be doing? What else could we be doing? You know, that kind of thing. And I mean, this is going to be an exciting year for this, because it's going to, there's a lot to do and a lot of ways to do it right. So we're going to try our best on the 24th.
Do we have a little synopsis of it?
Yes. Is that what you sent people? Mm-hmm. You should have gotten something.
I didn't see it, but it doesn't mean I didn't get it.
It's late this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got it after I left work, so.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And do we have any examples where this has happened in other cities or counties?
Denver for sure, and then, well, for the cultural access, or that, you know, type of model. I think Minneapolis area did something like this as well.
Because I think any kind of, like, outgrowth pieces on that would be helpful in the talking points to be able to even talk about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like being so new to the Arts Commission, I would need more talking points than I have here, and it sounds like you've already sent some, but they'd need to be extensive for me to start feeling really comfortable to be like, this is why I think you should be here. This is a little bit about what it's about.
Right.
So,
so what I want you all to, our talking points are, we are wanting to hear from our community about what's working, what gaps and barriers there are, what, you know, more, not even focusing in on the cultural access. I don't want it to be like the, I don't want that to be the kernel of this. I want it to be about if resource, you know, help us drive how resources are distributed and how, you know, help get more, if we could get more resources in our community, what would you want to see? what are the, you know, I'm also concerned about or wanting to hear people's concerns about the development of the city, what, you know, so this is really, it's art, you know, regardless of whether the cultural access thing was happening, I would still want to do this, but it's a little more meaningful because there really could be a giant payoff. Right.
That's the context for the bigger conversation that we're having.
Yeah, there's a reality that it might not go anywhere. I mean, the law was sort of written with King County in mind, and they had their shot, and they did not pass it. So
Seattle did, though. The Seattle portion did, but it was Bellevue and Redmond that came in,
I think. Overall.
Yeah.
But it was a King County
issue. Yeah, it was the whole county
right?
thing.
And so I think that took some people aback. Bit. And that's one of the reasons why it is not happening in February. I think it would have been all, you know, gung-ho to move forward with it. But so there's a lot, and I think we can learn a little bit of, you know, from lessons from their attempt at it and strategies that they implemented that we wouldn't. We have a different community anyway. But I think all that gets back to exactly what Amy's saying, which is that we just need to listen anyway, right, regardless of whether there is extra money or this big looming pile of cash coming. It's important to know what our constituents want.
And even to the council or whatever, look, we've been working X number of years to you know, and this community is really evolving and we have this great creative community. Those of you sat on the arts projects panel, you know, it's like, are we going to only distribute $50,000 for the rest of our lives? Like, I mean, what are the other bigger issues that we need to start to learn and communicate so that if we need to figure out other resourcing in other ways that we have the information and the connection to be able to advocate for that, I guess. You know.
I really like that this is happening before our retreat because I think that can really, I mean, this should inform how we think about what we do as a commission outside of the cultural access. But one thing occurred to me while we were talking about this, do we need like a resolution, or do we need to state somehow that as a commission we're supporting or not supporting Cultural Access Washington in order to enable us to do that work? Or
It's in the art plan. It's one of the strategies or the actions in the art plan.
Okay.
So I think that will work.
So if we want to go out and advocate for it, we don't have to say I'm not doing this as a Tacoma art commissioner because that's part of our plan.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Very good question. Yeah. No, it's. I mean, I think there might be a time when giving your support to the council in a formal way would be welcome, but it's definitely part of the adopted art plan. So it's you know, strengthening our creative ecosystem, and I think it's one whole page with the governor in it.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah.
I remember. Did we invite some teenagers as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that would be rich.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And supervised children will be welcome. So if people need to bring their kids, they don't have to get a babysitter. But we won't have daycare because
wait a second. We're not providing childcare.
We're not providing childcare, but children are welcome to attend.
Well behaved children.
Strapped to your bike.
So people who are willing and able to be there, please sign up.
So we'll pass around the sign up sheet. There's three different sections on here. The first one is for table leads. So these are people who would lead a small group conversation around one of these bullet point items.
So we're going to distill. This is not the list. We're going to distill it into something a little more manageable.
If you'd be comfortable leading a conversation, if you had a little bit more information go by right now, and helping get information from in your group. So if you're willing to be a table lead, that could absolutely use help here. Just sign your name on one of the lines here. And then we could also use some setup help. This is the purple line. If you can show up between 4 and 6, hopefully closer to 4, and help set up the little chairs and tables and all that kind of stuff. And then if you can help clean up is the green section. So feel free to sign up for any or all of those, and then we'll send you more information. Okay.
And if what Asia sent out today doesn't suffice for how you feel comfortable sharing the information or whatever, if you need more, let us know so we can help you do what you need to do to spread the word.
Facebook. If you like using Facebook and want to share that way, feel free to share, or as just inviting instead of just posting it on your own page, but inviting people on your friend list who you think would be interested or could contribute to the conversation.
Have you guys already posted that? Is it shareable yet?
It is, yes. Okay, right. And there's a link in that email that Asia sent you.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Cool. Sometimes you just got to jump in. So we're jumping in.
Is there something tomorrow with the Broadway Center?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so then tomorrow morning, was everybody invited to that?
I sent everyone an email.
Okay.
Whatever, as soon as we got it.
So tomorrow morning, the Arts Coalition is hosting a different kind of workshop, and this is more of the organizational institutions trying to get a sense of what people do now, who they serve and where, so we can get a sense of where the gaps are, and both geographically, but also, you know, what types of things people are offering or not. I don't know how that's going to go, but I'll report back on how that. You're welcome to attend. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
8:30 to 11:30.
Mm-hmm. And it's at the Studio 3, which is sort of sandwiched between Theater on the Square and the Pantages. It has like an orange painted door around it. It's an elevator that you'll take up to the third floor. I'm sure there'll be some sort of staff there pointing people.
And then I'm focusing on this and trying to think more around, you know, the role that we need to be playing. I don't know if you recall, if this were to pass, it would be managed through our office. So that would also be a game changer. So we have to think about, like, how to do that. And the way it's set up now is, and the legislation requires, there would be an additional advisory board that would oversee these dollars, so they'd be segregated from city funds, et cetera. But, you know, figuring out how to design it or how to implement stuff, particularly with the interaction with the school district, those of you, again, with the education background and knowledge of that, I will be, you know, hoping for your help to have perspective and, you know, just work through that stuff. Doesn't make do any good to do something that doesn't work or isn't helpful. Any other questions? Okay. So staff projects. I was like, what have I done for the last month? It's been kind of light. Just trying to get organized and stuff, focusing on this a bit. There was an ordinance change, very simple, but the one that changed the position that Rachel Cardwell exited from, specifically focused on a cross-district association or community council member, which would have limited it to a maximum of 40 people, to making that position an at-large position passed, so that's good. I had to be here till 9:30 one night to make that one change because it was a very, very packed agenda. The McKinley Lofts, which are the first affordable live-work project in town, are actually they're online for people to start to plug into, and it's a very complicated process. We're not ready to do like review of anything, but that'll be coming up, I guess, in the next couple months. But I'm going to forward you that email so you can share that with anybody you think might be interested. There are 6 to 8 units that are considered affordable. I'd say 6 that are actually are, so 2 of them are under 50% below the area median income, 2 are 60%, or 4 are 60%, I think, and then 2 are 80%, which is basically market rate. So they range from close to $700 to, I think, $1,200 to $1,500, something like that in the top range, utilities included. And the units are about 600 square feet. They're not giant, with sort of a loft bed up top. So I'll get you more information on that so you can start to share that with people as well. Something coming down the pike. We've talked about it before, but we're gearing up to start to make it happen is a grant we received from the National Endowment for the Arts for a project we're calling Public Art, Public Action. And it's a a project where we'll be looking for artists of all disciplines to participate in a training course on how to do community engagement. So with the Tacoma Mall area is their laboratory. So Ryan Feddersen, who's a public artist, has agreed to help us teach that course, and we'll be partnering with the Pierce County Health Department, Pierce Transit, different planning agencies, et cetera, to kind of sink into some of the issues and opportunities that exist in that area and see how artists might bring their brains to task and doing stuff, temporary projects and the like that help to raise visibility for things or gather data or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that'll be rolling out this year as well. So stay tuned.
I have spent the last few weeks writing arts projects contracts. So you guys approved at the last commission meeting the funding for our 2018 arts projects. All of them have been notified. Very excited organizations and very thankful for the funding. So we're in the process of contracting with them, and this will take a little bit of time, but as projects come up, as the public events happen, we'll let you know as we hear about them. And some of them will be, if you gave the okay for your email or mailing address to be shared, you'll probably get communication from those organizations as well directly. So I'm excited to have those projects happening. And then I've also been working on our traffic box wrap project. So if you recall, we in mainly 2016 did a series of 35 or so traffic boxes that we wrapped with artwork that were created by 20 local artists. And we are gearing up to do a new round in 2018. We need to rewrap three of them that have been damaged. We have 39 new ones to be wrapped. New boxes that will be wrapped with some of the old artwork. So
existing designs.
Existing. Yeah, thank you. Sounds better. So we still have the same 20 artists, same 20 designs. So it'll give each artist two more locations, and we're trying to spread them throughout Tacoma so that the artists are represented around the city.
You said three were damaged. Is that vandalism or they
failed? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, vandalism. Yeah. Sometimes people peel away at things, or things happen. And then we're saving six boxes to be wrapped in the Lincoln District as part of the Lincoln Revitalization Project, which won't happen now. There'll be new, different artwork for those six boxes. And you can talk about that.
For those, I think I talked a little bit at maybe the last meeting, the meeting before, about the some of the projects we're doing on the East Side with the East Side Community Center, and specifically the cohort. So we are going to be doing a mini training program that call should be going out early next month, I think, to do kind of similar to PAID, but a little bit more condensed. So it'll be a training program for public artists. We're looking specifically for artists from the East Side or with ties to the East Side, but it'll probably be a little bit more open than that. And we have one permanent public art piece that will be tied to that, so that artists who go through this training program will not only get the training, but they'll have an opportunity to actually compete for a real project with a real budget that they can work on. And because of the proximity and because traffic box wraps are a good opportunity for artists who aren't used to working in the public realm, we thought we'd tie that to make that another opportunity for artists in that cohort. So we'll have a couple opportunities. One's a little bigger than the other, but it'll still give them an opportunity to get some work in their portfolio. And there will also be a temporary piece of that, too. So, oh my gosh, the East Side. Speaking of the East Side, I've been working a lot on the East Side. We did selections for, this is a Metro Parks project, but selections for Portable Works, before the holidays. We have a call that's due Thursday for an outdoor sculpture, and then we should have a call going out this week for a memorial piece that was added to our plan. And then more to come. I've been working a lot on that, and besides just kind of end-of-year stuff, and a lot of my projects are moving towards install in the spring or summer when the weather's a little better. I'm just trying to corral people towards that now that it's 2018. I've also been working a lot on the Artist in Residence project, so Susan Rahm has been here quite a bit, and we've been getting her oriented, so a lot of site visits and getting to know that work better and getting her situated and trying to get her introduced to all the people she needs to know to do her work.
Is she still collaborating with the other artists?
And speaking of that,
yes.
Ronnie Chelvin, great question. Ronnie Chelvin will be here starting Wednesday for 2 weeks. So I've been getting things lined up for her too, and their work certainly intersects, but there's some different touch points that they'll need for what they're both going to be doing. So, thank you. We hired last year, last like November, I think. Lynn was on the panel. We hired actually two artists in residence to fulfill an artist in a residence position to deal specifically with issues around homelessness. And so we're managing the contract. It's funded through our community-based services. And it's the first time we've had an artist in residence period at the city that I know of. So the idea is we're embedding an artist into this work. There are a couple different skill sets we're looking for specifically, and each of the artists kind of brings that to it. One is an ability to work with sites that have been problematic for residents, business owners, different groups throughout the city, and reimagining what those could look like for everybody in the community. And we're calling that creative site reclamation. Susan's kind of mostly focusing on that, and that's where the need and the funding is coming from. Another need, another skill set we're looking at is communicating some of the stories of people who are experiencing homelessness and the great need that they have and we all have to support them in a better, more systematic way with the public. So that's something that Ronnie's kind of focusing on, but they're both going to be looking at. So, again, we haven't done this before. I've been really encouraged by how open staff has been and collaborators have been so far. Their role is also going to be, both of their roles is going to be to kind of bring a creative mind to the table and help us think about solutions. We're looking, you know, the city's in it has declared a state of emergency for months now. It's a long state of emergency. And there's some really basic human rights, human services type things that are being addressed, but we're also looking at some of the larger systematic things that need to happen that have to do more with policy or with even zoning and how funding gets distributed in the city. So I'm excited to see what can happen if we have some artists at the table for that and kind of artist advocates who can help us shape that thinking a little bit. So.
Cool.
Yes, that's my... It's hard to explain. It's hard to do at a high level, but I've been spending a lot of time on that, and it's fun, and it's hard, and I've been really encouraged so far. So we'll have them come and talk to you all when they're at a good time, probably, I don't know, this spring?
Yeah.
And kind of give an update and talk a little bit more about their work.
I think I told some of you last month, I believe, but I'll tell the new folks as well. We have a new interim, I think interim is the better word, director, Kim Badir, who's helping manage our department. She's the director of our they changed their name too, and I can never remember what it is, but basically she's in charge of all the facilities of the Dome and the Convention Center and Cheney Stadium and the Pantages, etc. So it's pretty cool because she understands what we do more than anyone has, really, to date. And I think she's in place just to kind of stabilize our department and help understand what people do and things like that. So I met with her today, and you know, it's encouraging. She basically, you know, wants people to do what they're doing and keep doing it well. So I always like that. Sure.
No? I don't know. Okay. We have a few items to pass around for your information. This is through our events...
Special events office.
Yes, special events office that's in our office. The first is the announcement of the MLK Day celebration, Be the Change, which is on January 15th. Free public event. And I'll pass around the postcards if you would like to attend. And then the second is the City of Destiny Awards. They are accepting nominations for their 32nd annual awards. They are due January 26th. So if you know people in the community making impacts here that you should be nominating, this is not arts related specifically, although it could be. So feel free to take a form or pass them out if you know other people. And make some nominations.
Are we good to stand? You guys?
I think we're.
We got it?
Yeah.
This is going to be a short meeting. Nobody's going to complain. It's the first one of the year. So, advocacy reports is next. And that really is if you guys have met with or had some kind of interaction anyway, particularly with elected official, but also anything really, if you've had conversations or want to talk about things that you have been advocating for in your world or the arts in general, it'd be great. Usually this is a larger section within our, not more than 1 minute, within our agenda when we've had council coffees, for instance. So that becomes something that happens a little bit later in the calendar year, and we'll talk about that later. We've got several new council members, and we'll be scheduling time for commissioners to sit down and spend some time with other commissioners, too. You don't have to go in by yourself. Have a conversation, which you can do at any time, of course, but these guys help facilitate those a little bit later in the year. And usually when... April, maybe April,
somewhere around there. In this next month, I'll be working on getting our 2017 year review document together. So you should see that at the next commission meeting. And that's the document usually that you take into the council meeting or council coffee meetings.
And we've talked about in the past about maybe putting in during the retreat something about advocacy and sort of have those conversations, maybe role-playing, that kind of thing. And if we get, I think we had Marty Campbell has come to a retreat or two in the past, and he's talked to us about his perspective as an elected official and the kinds of questions and kinds of interaction that he's interested in. So do we have anybody yet?
We don't know yet. Okay. I keep asking, but we should know soon.
So that's that. I don't want to suggest that nobody has anything to report, but I'm going to assume that at this point we don't. And then arts events attended. This is just an opportunity to mention something in the last month or so that you've seen or participated in that you want to let everybody know about. Anybody?
On the advocacy front, I did want to say something.
Oh, please. Thanks.
So,
sorry.
Ashka, who's replacing Campbell, has outreach to me because of other advocacy things that I worked on with Campbell. And I think it's an opportunity to meet ahead of the march. And then I thought about it, and it would be nice to do it with all new members so that it's not only one person specifically. So I am going to be doing that. I would love to have talking points. I'm going to be doing it in the next couple of weeks because I want to get on it because I was asked. And so I do think that it's important to have a little bit of the arts piece in with other advocacy efforts that I'm trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, take advantage. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
That's great.
It's an invitation.
Yeah, the art plan strategies are a good kind of basis, but we can get you something that will be helpful.
Okay, thanks. And then there was so much going on before or during the holidays, but there was a great holiday concert at Tacoma Symphony Orchestra that I attended, and then stadium, and that's always so much fun. So I really urge you to go. It's been since the new conductor, she's no longer new, but 5 years, she has a fabulous holiday concert with pops and all kinds of interesting artists that come.
She's been here 5 years?
I think so, 4 years maybe.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. It goes fast. And now she's a resident of this area as well. So, and she's raising her kids here. That speaks well to longevity for us as well.
Nice.
Lisa, is she not still splitting her time between the two coasts?
No, she is. Oh, she's residing here. I mean, I think she is conductor of several symphonies, but she's living here. Okay. So this is her majority work.
And you guys did hear that Andy Bilo took a position in Michigan, and Kit Evans is going to be stepping in interim for...
Oh, that's
for
great.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And who's Andy Bilo?
Symphony. To come
he was the executive
director.
You
don't
director.
Have to remember that now.
He's gone.
You're going to have to back.
Forget
him. And then there were great concerts by the Wind Ensemble and jazz at the Castle in December as well. So those were really great performances.
Great. Did anybody go to First Night? I did not.
I went to House Park First Night.
What a big event. And well managed. Especially on the day of the event, it's really pretty well coordinated. We stepped in and provided a last-minute venue for them, and I always like First Night.
How are we involved as a commission at all with First Night, other than funding?
We haven't been. We don't. The city funds them, but it's not through us.
Okay.
However, Calla Drawley, who runs special events, she has a meeting set up in a couple weeks, kind of talk a little bit more about how we can better align and just make sure that, you know, artists really have a great pipeline to that and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it makes, you know, it makes sense.
We went to Tacoma Art Museum. We actually got a field trip, and the kids loved it, and it was all the still lives. So it was kind of fun to see a bunch of high school kids actually discussing which still life was their favorite and why, and they had great reasons. And the we had a couple of the docents with us, and they were fantastic. So it was really nice to see, and the kids had a ton of fun. And the docents stayed for a little while extra just to chat with them, which is always kind of nice.
To add on to that, we've been in discussions with TAM to continue our partnership with them for 2018, so those discussions are going really well. But part of an additional discussion was their after-school, I have to remember what it's called, after-school arts program. And so we're going to help bring kids from our different school sites as well as our different branches and programs to TAM so that we can take advantage, or they can take advantage of that program.
Else for the good of the order. Future agenda items, if there's something you're burning to talk about and want to make sure it's on the agenda next time. Hearing none, let these guys put it together as they usually do. We're adjourned. Thank you.
All right.
Non-gavel.
Do you
love to have
you.
Wow.
Well, it was funny because I had my dad.
But it was just, yeah, it was kind of a cool.
It was so weird to like.